Hebrews chapter 8. If you would stand with me one more time as I read a few verses aloud here. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. It's always better when the Lord does it, and not man. Everything the Lord does is it's always far superior, amen? For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. In other words, when you read back in Exodus chapter 20 through 25 around there, and God tells Moses exactly how to make every single item in the tabernacle. I think I'm going to preach on the tabernacle next week and maybe the following week. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do it justice, so I'm not going to just throw something together. But anyway, when you see and you read that, you think, oh man, sometimes it's like every detail, and sometimes you know your eyes start getting heavy because you're thinking, whoa. But the reason God tells him every little detail like that is because it has to be an exact replica of the one in heaven. Amen. In other words, it's a smaller version of it, but yet it has to be exactly proportionate to the one in heaven. It's an amazing truth. That's what this is saying. He says in verse 5, the end of the verse there, he says, see that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Why? Because there's one in heaven, and it's got to line up. Verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Again, verse 6 says, he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator, notice, of a better covenant. A better covenant. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help me tonight. It's a lot of teaching and preaching, but Lord, mostly just building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Lord, feeding your flock. Help us, Lord God, I pray. As we listen, I pray we listen on purpose. Please cast down all distractions. Help us to bring every thought into obedience, the captivity to obedience of Jesus Christ tonight. Give us your Holy Spirit understanding, I pray. Work in the hearts of those that may be lost here tonight, those that are saved who just, Lord, a little bit discouraged or tired from the day. Please help me, Lord God, to be filled with your Spirit, to say what needs to be said and nothing else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight again about that better covenant in verse 6. The Bible says Jesus, of course, is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. A covenant is a testament or an agreement with a promise. A covenant is a testament or an agreement with promise. When two people get married, a man and woman, a male and a female. That's the only marriage God recognizes. Now, I'm just saying, that's what the Bible says. Okay? Don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. But male and female, when they get married, they're entering into a covenant with each other. They're promising their spouse that they're going to be faithful to them, and they're promising and the spouse that their spouse is, well, hopefully by that time they're going to say the same thing. Amen. Anyway, but what I'm saying is that's a covenant. That marriage is a picture of an agreement between two people, and they're both promising each other faithful unto death. Amen. Faithful unto death. Now, understand something. That's also a picture of salvation. Yeah. Amen. That's also a picture of salvation. God gave us that marriage covenant. God put that thing together. Not man. It came from God. And because Adam and Eve and God brought them together. Amen. And listen, and that, by the way, they stayed together until they died. Now, but here's what I'm saying is this. Is that marriage covenant is intended to never be broken.
That's right.
But see, when man gets involved, things happen, and we know divorce happens, and divorce happens many times. It's unfortunate, but it happens. But the reality of the situation is, but when God's, like I said, when God does it, it's so much better. Okay? God does not divorce. God never divorces. When he makes a covenant, he stays with his covenant. You understand? Now, the fact of the matter is, there are many covenants in the Bible. It starts all the way back with Noah. If you remember Noah, God made a covenant with Noah that every time there was a rainbow in the sky, God said, every time you see that rainbow, the covenant was, the promise was, I'm never going to destroy the earth again with water. And so that's the covenant that God made with Noah. Every time you see that rainbow, that's what you need to remember. God's never going to destroy this earth with water again. That's a promise. He made a covenant, he made an agreement with Noah, and then the promise, amen, is never to destroy the earth again. Abraham, he made a covenant with Abraham. God promised to give Abraham a child. Okay? And God promised to bless Abraham, bless the nation that was going to come out of Abraham's seed, and all the world, all the families of all the world, through that promised seed, of course, through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That was God's promise, God's agreement, God's testament and covenant with Abraham. God also made one with Moses. And that's kind of what the writer here in Hebrews is talking about. Moses, the covenant with Moses is what you and me know as the Old Testament.
Right.
Okay? The Old Testament. The law of Moses is the Old Testament. It's the law of Moses. It includes the tabernacle. It includes all the ceremonial laws, the moral laws, the civil laws, the sacrifices and those things. But that was what you and me know as the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. And also within that Old Testament is the Davidic Covenant, where God made a covenant with David. He promised that the throne of David would be established forever.
Amen.
Through David's seed.
Amen.
Of course, David is in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus comes back to the earth after the tribulation period to rule and reign from Jerusalem, he's going to sit, amen, on David's throne.
Amen.
Because God made that promise. Okay?
Yeah.
That's a promise. Now, but also we have now, what we're going to look at more specifically here tonight, is this new covenant. This better covenant, if you will. This better covenant, or what you and me know it as to be the New Testament. Are you getting it now? Old Testament, New Testament, okay? Wow, yeah, that's what it means, okay? Now, this was originally given to Israel. It's a promise that God will restore Israel to their land and will give them a heart to obey Him. Now, folks, that didn't happen yet. Okay? That hasn't happened yet. But this will happen when Jesus returns to the earth again after the tribulation. This replaces the Mosaic law of the Old Testament. This replaces the law of the Old Testament. Look in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 8. Chapter 10, verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Jesus, of course, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now look, this New Testament with Israel has not been established yet.
Right.
Okay, let me just this New Testament with Israel has not physically been established yet. You understand that, right? Don't lose me, okay? I'm going to get somewhere with this. But you got, if you want to understand your Bible, you're going to have to listen to me tonight. If you want to understand your Bible, you're going to have to understand God is dealing with His people throughout this Bible, the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews. But so He's making covenants with them all throughout the Old Testament of our Bible. But there's also now a New Testament that Jesus is going to replace the Old Testament, the Old Covenant of Moses. This New Covenant promises regeneration and cleansing from sin. It also reaffirms Israel's national security and future kingdom. It promises that Israel will be restored completely, and also they will be blessed in the eyes of all the world. Now, in case you're living in a cave, you understand that has not happened yet. Okay? That has not happened yet. But look in chapter 8 back where we were. Let me read it beginning in verse 8 and following. Let me give you some examples of what's going to happen here. For finding fault with them, verse 8, fault with the old covenant, the first covenant, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. You remember that's talking about Moses. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for he shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now wait a minute. What that verse just said is that you're not going to have to tell anybody about Jesus, about who he is, because the whole world is going to know who he is. Amen. From the least to the greatest. Now listen again, that has not happened yet. Okay? This is still very much future. This is still talking about the future kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of the Jews. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That hasn't happened yet either.
Right.
Not, remember, we're talking about the covenant with Israel. The physical covenant between God and Israel. In that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And folks, listen to me. It's going to happen very soon.
Amen.
Very soon. It's still a covenant with Israel, but this is what I'm trying to get to tonight. You and me are participants in this covenant now through salvation in Christ Jesus. Okay? The spiritual aspect of this covenant is for us today. The spiritual aspect of this covenant is for us today. Look over in chapter 10, verse 12. Now we're going to use our Bibles tonight. I mean, I'm just getting started. But look in chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's not happened yet.
Right.
Okay? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of sin is, the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now hold on just a minute. If you're paying attention and you didn't have such a long day that you've already gone to sleep on me, if you're paying attention, I just read some of the exact same words that were written over there in chapter 8.
Amen.
Okay? But the difference, if you noticed, in chapter 10, now some of you are looking back at your Bible and say, where? Where? That's okay. That's all right. Just be patient. Okay? It all boils down to one thing. Notice verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us.
Yep.
Okay? Now, the spiritual aspect of this covenant, it all boils down to one thing. After Jesus died, the New Testament began spiritually.
That's right.
Spiritually. Look in chapter 9. Hold on now, verse 16. Chapter 9, verse 16. For where a testament is, a covenant, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Verse 17, for a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, you've heard of a last will and testament, right?
Yep.
You have a will, but that will is null and void. That will doesn't mean anything until you do what? Until you croak. And after you pass away, then that becomes, that goes into place.
Right.
That goes, okay? It's the same thing with this testament. This is a last, the New Testament, if you will, Jesus between him and his people. But see, when Jesus died, then the New Testament became, was put into effect. In other words, the new covenant is better now because after Jesus died and was glorified, the new covenant now includes, I just told you a minute ago, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. See, going back to chapter 10, verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Okay, who's that us? Those of us that are sanctified. Look in verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now hold on just a minute. That's not everybody.
Right.
Because everybody's not saved. Okay, those that are sanctified, those that are set apart, those that have become Jesus Christ's heirs, joint heirs with Christ, according to the Bible, is when you get born again. Okay, when you get saved, you become sanctified, you become set apart unto God. You become His and only His, okay? You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So when Jesus died for all the sins of all the world, not everybody's automatically saved. They have to come to that humbling place of repentance and faith, and then they're sanctified, amen? And what is the witness of that sanctification? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But listen now. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Y'all still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7. He that believeth, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now wait a minute, verse 39 has got a parenthesis there. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. That's future tense. Okay? For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You understand? Look in chapter 16 of John, chapter 16, verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus, of course, he tells us the truth. He always told us the truth. He is the truth. Amen. It is expedient. It's beneficial. It's good. It's advantageous for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. See? So that's why in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the one thing that it wasn't that nobody in the Old Testament was saved, but they were never saved by keeping the law.
Right.
They were never saved by obeying any of the covenants that God made or the law of Moses. They were saved by believing God.
Amen.
If you're saved tonight, it's because you heard the Word of God and you believed it and you obeyed it.
Amen.
By the way, if you don't obey it, you don't believe it.
Right.
Now, but let me back up here. So in the new covenant now, this is good. In the New Testament now that Jesus has died, like the testator had to die, remember? The testator has died, and now, of course, we know he rose again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But he was no longer the same. He rose again in his glorified body. Okay? So now that he's glorified, now, a few days later, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, God sent forth the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, let me give you some thoughts about this Holy Ghost tonight and we'll go home. The Holy Spirit has always convicted men of sin. Again, you're in John 16 right there. Look in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world. Now, wait a minute. He's talking to his disciples, but he's saying that the Holy Spirit's going to reprove the world. He didn't say he's going to reprove you. He said he's going to reprove the world. Because see, there's the children of God, and then there's the children of the world.
Right.
Amen. Those of us who are born again, remember, we have the Spirit of God in us, crying, Abba, Father. But then the whole world lieth in wickedness.
Right.
Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. For all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's not the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world.
Yeah.
And whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Right.
Okay? So here's what I'm trying to get you to see. When we got saved, when a person gets saved, it's because they were in the world. They were unsaved, and then the Holy Spirit convicted them. Now, the Holy Spirit has always convicted people all the way back to the beginning of time. Okay, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. The only relationship that the Holy Spirit has with the lost world is to convict them of sin. Now you say, preacher, the Holy Spirit wasn't in the world back in those days. Oh, wait a minute. Stop. Yes, he was. You can go all the way back. Go all the way back with me to Genesis chapter 1. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 2. Well, let's just read verse 1. Amen. It's a good one. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Y'all believe that, don't you?
Amen.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Spirit of God was always convicting men. How do you think people got saved in the Old Testament?
Right. Yeah.
They got convicted by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. Remember, the Bible tells us that Thy Word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven.
Amen. Right.
Right? Now, don't lose me now. And so the Bible also tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
Okay? It also tells us that holy men of God moved as they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay? The Holy Spirit was moving all the way back here in Genesis chapter 1. When the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, what happened is that the Holy Spirit moved in his heart that he realized, I'm a sinner, this is God's Word, and I need to be saved. Now, the Holy Spirit convicted him of that. The Holy Spirit reproved him of that. The Holy Spirit convinced him, this is God's Word. I believe this. And then the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. The only time anybody gets saved is when they hear the Word of God and they realize that's God's Word. And that Word of God pierces my heart. And then God reproves me of the fact that I'm a sinner. I'm so much lower than He is. I need Jesus. I need to be sanctified, sealed, set apart, saved forever. And then the Holy Ghost is the one doing moving in my heart. It's always been the Holy Ghost from the beginning of time, moving on the earth. But the Holy Spirit now in the world is the one that points. Look down. Let's read on verse 14 in John 16, 14. Go back over there. Okay, keep your Bibles handy, close to you, okay? He shall glorify me. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit only points lost men to Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, now why is that important? Well, you said, well, Jesus hadn't died yet in the Old Testament. Now, understand something. In the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen.
Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. So, what did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit moved Abraham's heart. I'm just using Abraham as an example because he was way back in the beginning, and he still got saved because the Holy Spirit moved him to the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the living Word of God.
Right.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah.
So when the Bible says, see, here's what I'm trying to say. The Holy Spirit only, that's what Jesus said in John 16. He said that He will glorify me.
Amen.
He does not glorify Himself.
Right.
He does not glorify a building or a feeling.
Amen.
He does not glorify an emotion. He does not glorify some tongue-talking ridiculous mess. He glorifies Jesus.
Amen.
He points people to that book.
Amen.
He points people to that book.
Amen.
He points people to that book. I'm going to say it again. He doesn't point people to their experiences. Amen. He points people to that book.
Amen.
And that's a big difference.
Amen.
That's a big difference between the truth and the charismatic stuff that's going on. The Holy Spirit only points people to Jesus. He only glorifies. When Jesus said He glorifies me, Jesus is the Word.
Amen.
He only points people to this book.
Right.
Now, when you got saved, you had to hear this book.
That's right.
Amen.
This is the living Word of God. This is inspired by God. This is written by God's Holy Spirit, moving on the hearts of men. Now listen, and then God used that Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, don't turn over there. I'll give you a break. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Now, that verse does not say that faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Right.
Now, don't label me a heretic yet. Hear me out. That verse says that faith comes by hearing, and the hearing comes by the word of God. So the hearing that I'm literally hearing is the Holy Spirit. I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, there are many people that have heard that book and it has not done shit for them.
That's right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to people many times knocking on their doors and soul winning, and so have you. And I've read to them and it's like, it doesn't affect them at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Amen.
But you know what does happen when, like Walter last night, what happened was he got convicted because he heard the Holy Spirit speaking to his heart by the Word of God.
That's right.
See the difference there? Now, I have to use the Word of God, but listen to me. It doesn't mean that every time anybody hears the Word of God, they're just going to fall on their face and get saved. You know that's not true.
Right. That's right.
How many times did you hear before you got saved?
Right.
You know it's not true.
Man.
See, God speaks to us through His Spirit using the Bible.
Right.
But there's also many times that people hear the Bible, but they don't hear the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay? The Holy Spirit did this in the Old Testament also. Remember, men were all made equally the same with a conscience put in their heart.
Yeah.
But just like the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, that they could harden their heart.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And their hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Remember those verses? And so they didn't hear the Holy Spirit. But you and me now today, if we're saved, amen, we're sanctified, and the Holy Spirit is our witness that we are born again. Because number one, the Holy Spirit convicted us. He's always convicted though, even in the Old Testament. He's always converted. Okay, the Holy Spirit has been the one that does the converting. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Y'all with me still?
Amen.
Okay. I'm trying to be simple, yet I want you to see this is a very important truth. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that's the physical birth, that's your natural birth, "and of the Spirit,
yep,
he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You understand something? Listen now. If all I have is a natural flesh birth, then I've not been born again.
Right.
I've not been born of the Spirit or by the Spirit. So who's the one that does the converting? The Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit does the converting. The Holy Spirit does the changing. The Holy Spirit is the only way anybody's ever going to get to heaven. They've been convicted and then they've been converted by the same Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." That word "quickeneth" means makes alive, right? Boom, brings life. Brings life where there was nothing but death. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus, the words of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, you understand that whole Trinity, don't you? It's always working together. But the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the sinner through the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that converts the sinner through regeneration. Look in Titus. Titus chapter 2. Quickly. Excuse me, chapter 3. I'll be there. Chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." How? "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Okay? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is that gift? Hallelujah. That gift is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Right? That gift is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that could... The reason that I could say Abba Father is because the Spirit of the Son is in my heart. And God is the one that gave me that Spirit. Okay? See, this is what separates true believers from religious external players.
That's right.
Now, I'm not even... 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. I'm turning with you. I could have had all my bookmarks ready, but I'm giving you a chance, amen. I don't want to go too fast. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. There it is. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Yeah.
So how is a person saved? Through the Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, not through the words on a page.
Right.
Not through the pen and ink, etc. But through the Spirit.
Yeah.
What does it mean the letter killeth? Hey, listen, what it means is that if the Holy Spirit doesn't give me life, if I don't become regenerated through the Holy Spirit, this book is condemned me. This book is what has told me that the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
This book is what has told me that this now is the condemnation that men have loved, that light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness rather than light. See, when people stand before the great white throne of our God and our Savior, who, by the way, that's just going to be Jesus Christ sitting on that throne, amen? Because no man has seen God at any time. God's a spirit. But when they see Jesus Christ sitting on that throne and the books are open, dearly beloved, listen to me, this is the main book that's going to be open right here. The Bible. The Word of God. You're going to have the Word of God sitting on the throne, holding the written Word of God in His lap. And this is going to be the book that if anyone is cast into the lake of fire, it's because they disobeyed, they disbelieved this book.
Yep.
So the letter is going to kill them.
Right.
But the Spirit behind it is to give them life.
Amen.
You see, but it depends on the heart.
Right.
It depends on the person who listens to the book, whether or not they'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart.
Right.
I don't have time to go over to Matthew 13 and the parable of the sower and the seeds and then the soil, how different the soils were. The seed was the same, amen. The sower was Jesus Christ. That seed is the Word of God, amen.
Yeah.
And but the problem is they didn't all have the soil to hear the Spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
Let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Man.
The natural man does not receive the things that are the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You're right, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, an unsaved man does not have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's going to be working to convict and to convert. But see, the difference is their heart has got to receive it. Now, you say, well, the Bible says they can't. It's foolishness to them. They can't understand it all, but they can know enough to be born again.
Amen.
Okay? Otherwise, God would be a liar and nobody would ever be able to get saved. What he's saying right here is that we need the Holy Spirit to help us learn and grow, but yet we don't have the Holy Spirit at salvation. We're convicted, then we're converted. Amen. But the difference between that old covenant and the new covenant is this. The Holy Spirit convicts, He always has. The Holy Spirit converts, He always has. But today, in this new covenant, the New Testament, the Holy Spirit now completes.
Amen.
Completes the believer. Okay, this shouldn't be boring to you. I hope that you're listening. This is where the new covenant, that's why the Bible says the new covenant is better. Why? Because now I have the Holy Spirit. Listen, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now the Holy Spirit completes the believer.
Amen.
Completes me. The New Testament, chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, verse 16, John 14. And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you how long?
Forever.
See, that, listen, that was Jesus speaking to his disciples, future tense.
Yeah.
It hadn't happened yet.
Right.
Okay? The Old Testament believers did not have that. But today, now that we're in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, now that the testator has died, Jesus Christ, we have this Holy Spirit now sealed within us forever. Ever.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't lose that.
That's right.
Amen. You can't lose salvation.
Amen.
Okay? You can't lose because it's not your place. It's not your promise. It's not your power. God says that that Holy Spirit will abide with you forever.
That's right,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. So now I'm complete in Christ. John 14, verse 26. Same chapter, verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit now teaches the believer. Okay? That's why you can grow in your faith. That's why you look back. Listen, you look back in the Old Testament and you see those people. And one minute they're watching the Red Sea part and they're walking through on dry ground.
Yep.
And 3 days later, they're saying, I don't have any water.
Yep.
And I want to go back to Egypt. 3 days later.
Yeah.
I mean, they're ready to kill Moses.
Right.
Because see, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do.
That's right.
They were under a different covenant.
Yeah.
So they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They were never able to grow like you and me are in understanding. See, because the Holy Spirit is who teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. All I am is a mouthpiece, but if you're not saved, you're not going to learn anything.
Right.
You're just going to be like, well, this is boring.
Yeah, come on.
But if you're saved, you're like, whoa, this is meat. This is the Holy Spirit. This is New Covenant. This is Jesus. And this is meat. This is boring. Now listen, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you to understand this stuff. And if it's foolishness to you, listen to me, you better start praying and examine yourself. But see, the Bible says the natural man can't receive those. I just read it to you. But because of now that we're saved, we can begin to learn things. That's why you should be learning and growing. That's why the New Testament says, grow in grace and knowledge.
Amen.
Of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, God didn't say that in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
He said, go forward.
Yeah.
But he never told them to grow. You know what he said? He said, walk humbly with thy God. He said, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. These three things were required of them. Why? Because you know he led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was their only presence of God, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit in their hearts.
That's right.
So they can never really learn like we can.
Right.
They can never really learn and understand like they can never. That's why they had such a hard time understanding the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
That's why they had such. That's why those Jews could not understand. Listen, you don't have to be circumcised anymore.
Yeah.
I'm hurrying. So John 14, 26, he teaches us. Look over in John, same verses. He comforts us. The Bible says he's the comforter. Look in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because you have somebody in there now by the name of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And see, he says, peace I leave with you. He said, not as the world giveth. There's no peace the world can give.
That's right.
The world offers peace, but yet it never really pans out, does it? The world talks about peace, but yet all they have is strife and envy and contention and hatred. But see, Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace. He's still talking about the Holy Spirit. The Comforter has come, amen. The Comforter has, and that comfort in times like these, you need a Savior.
Amen.
This is what we're talking about. Because now we have a Comforter. Look in John 16. The Holy Spirit completes the believer. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, let me stop right there. It's not what I was going to say, but I want to say something anyway. Have you ever heard somebody else talk about some kind of false doctrine, false theology, wrong Bible?
False.
And you say, oof. I can't put my finger on that. I can't put my finger on it, but that ain't right.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
This is not right. This is not where I need to be.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Why? Because if you're saved, that spirit in you is the spirit of truth.
Amen.
And truth and error, truth and deception, truth and lies can never coexist. That's why it troubles me. Listen, when somebody gets saved and yet they just go right back to their old church. You can't convince me that they truly got born again. Not the Bible, not with what I'm talking about. Listen, how can that be? If the spirit of truth is in them now, and they're going back to the old lies, and like nothing ever happened. You see, salvation is not just you getting forgiveness of sin. Salvation is you getting the Spirit of God in your heart. And this, He is the Spirit of truth. Look in verse 16, again, verse 13, let me read on here. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Again, He shall not speak of Himself, charismatics. He shall not speak of Himself, Pentecostals, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He even helps you understand prophecy.
Right.
But look, He guides the believer. That's what it says. He will guide you into all truth. He will help you know, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right, this is right. Oh, yes.
Blessed, blessed book.
You know, anyway, I'm not going to go off on the King James, but there's a body of truth. Ephesians chapter 4 says there's one truth.
Amen.
Yeah. One. The Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen.
Okay.
So you understand something? This is what we're talking about here. He guides us into all truth. In other words, He's guiding us away from error. He's guiding us away from deception. Yeah. He's guiding us away from the devouring, roaring lion.
Amen.
I mean, listen to me. This is the new covenant that you and I have.
Amen.
Don't misunderstand and forget where we're going with this. This is the better covenant now because of this Holy Spirit. The Old Testament believers did not have this. You know what happened? Along came Baal.
Yep. Yep.
Along came, Jezebel.
Amen.
They didn't have a completed Bible. They didn't have a pastor preaching the devil out of them.
Nope.
They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Now, do you understand a little bit more?
Amen.
Amen.
You see, we have a better covenant.
Amen.
And praise God.
Amen.
We have a better covenant now. A better testament. This is the Holy Spirit. Think about Philip. Remember Philip? He was having a great time in Samaria, and the Holy Spirit of God says, wait, Philip, go down to Gaza to the desert. Okay, when he got down there, now go join yourself to that chariot over there. Who was telling him to do that? The Holy Spirit was guiding him into all truth. You see, that's the difference between a New Testament believer. You remember Paul? And he was trying to preach in Bithynia, trying to preach in Asia, trying to preach in... And then the Holy Spirit said, no, stop. And in the middle of the night, he was praying, and God told him, go into Macedonia. That's the Holy Spirit guiding him into all truth. Don't you understand? That is a privilege.
Yeah.
That is an amazing thing. I don't know if this is boring you or what, but the Holy Spirit guides believers. The Holy Spirit leads believers into all truth. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 also empowers the believer. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Listen, the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us and comforts us, but listen, for one reason. He wants us to preach the gospel. He wants us to be witnesses into all the world, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. He wants to empower us, listen, because you and me are living in the space, in the day of grace. In the church age in which we live, God did not give anyone else this Holy Spirit. He gave it to us, glory to God. And because He says, now I've given you the power, go preach the gospel.
Amen.
Go preach the gospel. It empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit then also, through that, calls out more believers into the ministry. Look in Acts chapter 13. I'm just going through this quick, y'all. Bear with me. Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Who said it? The Holy Ghost said. He's not a power. He's a person. Amen. The Holy Ghost spoke, said. Now listen, he didn't speak out loud. Amen. He spoke to the heart. Don't get corny on me, all right? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Who called them?
God.
Spirit. Who's speaking here? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me the two that I've called.
Right.
Boom. Who's calling? The Holy Spirit. Right. For what? Verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. See, the Holy Spirit today that calls believers into the ministries of the church, sends them to the mission field, calls them to preach the gospel, sends them to teach Sunday school, and works in their heart through the preaching of the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit says, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to go there. I want you to work here. And then the Holy Ghost works, and the Holy Ghost calls, and the Holy Ghost sends. Amen?
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
Let me point out a fact here real quick. Remember, I showed you earlier, he only points men to Christ. Okay? And if you remember, Jesus Christ came. He said, I will build my church. Mm-hmm. The only thing that Jesus Christ built and builds is the church.
Amen.
Okay? What am I saying? I'm saying if you're going to serve the Lord by the Holy Spirit's leadership, it's going to be in the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus died, gave his blood for the church.
Yep.
Now, I know some of you don't understand what I'm talking about, but the Holy Spirit's not going to call you to go serve somewhere over here else and not serve in your church.
Right.
Amen.
That's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
That's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
See, he only glorifies Jesus. Now, there's all, let me say this to you. There's all kinds of spirits going out into the world.
Yeah.
And they're always pulling on you.
Amen.
Seducing spirits, the Bible calls them.
Amen.
See, listen, dearly beloved, if you don't catch what I'm saying, you're in danger. But listen carefully what I'm saying. That's why you've got to get very familiar with the Holy Ghost voice. Because it's not the same as the other voices. But if you don't know how to distinguish them, you're going to be duped, deceived. He's guiding you into all truth. So one surefire way to find out whether or not it's the Holy Ghost is, okay, is this truth?
Yeah.
How do I know? Well, open up your Bible.
Yes, sir.
Get alone with God on your knees.
Amen.
And say, Lord, is this truth? Is this you leading me to do this? And by the way, I'm telling you, if it's some kind of ministry outside of your church that goes against your church, it's not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you. He only glorifies Jesus. He only leads you into truth. Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
He's not leading you to do something that takes you out of the truth.
Amen,
amen, preacher. He's amen. Not leading me to take you out of the truth. Never.
Amen. That's right.
Never. But see, that's a blessing, isn't it? Don't.
Amen.
That,
you know.
Come on, preach.
What are you getting mad about?
Right. Amen.
Well, this is not a better covenant. What are you getting mad about?
Right.
Think about the blessings that you have. You have a spirit in you that leads you into truth to keep you away from error. Don't get angry.
Right.
Amen.
What are you mad about?
Yeah.
Say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for protecting me.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, dearly beloved, don't get angry at God for doing the right thing, for helping us. Listen, in our simple minds, our finite minds, my pea brain, I need the Holy Spirit to lead me into truth. I need Him to guide me away from false errors and lies. I thank God for this new, better covenant.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
It'll help you to believe God, by the way. It'll change your life.
Yep.
Romans chapter 8, look over there real quick. Look over there, I'm hurrying, but anyway. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The Holy Spirit also frees the believer. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me, what's that next word? Free!
Yeah.
From the law of what? Sin. And death. Wow. Listen, everybody is under some law.
That's right.
Everybody. I've told you this before. I don't have time to preach all these. I told you that. The law of sin and death, what was governing my life before I got saved. But thank God, the Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, amen, set me free from that law of sin and death. I'm never going to die.
Amen.
I'm just going to be translated from one world to a much better world, a much better country.
Amen.
I'm not going to die. But the only reason I'm not going to die is because of this precious Holy Spirit in me forever. 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 Hallelujah. The Romans chapter 8, verse 9, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his.
Yep.
You see, this is where we're different from the rest of the world. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Just like you're going to go home tonight and dwell in your house and dwell in your bed, snuggled up and cozy, and dwell there throughout the night. The Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts.
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell there, then it's not His house.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. And you're not His.
Yep.
So if you don't if you don't have all of these blessings, these new better covenant, then you're not His. But listen, you can be.
Amen.
He's still extending the same offer to you as He did to me. And until Jesus comes back, until this old world falls apart and everything changes, listen, you have an opportunity to trust Christ.
Amen.
Look in chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, there it is, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You say, preacher, how do I know this is true? That's exactly what that verse says. How do I know this is true? Because when the Holy Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God, He bears witness, He sits there and says, that's right, you're mine.
Amen. That's right.
You're mine.
Hey.
You're mine.
Yep.
You're mine. Well, that's assurance.
Amen.
Yep.
How do you think it is that as I'm preaching, you know, the Holy Spirit saying, you're mine, and you're saying, hey, man, glory to God, hallelujah, and somebody else is sitting there saying, oh, man, I need to get saved.
Oh,
man, I need to get saved.
Amen.
Why? Because there's no Holy Spirit in there.
Right. Yep.
And the Holy Spirit's bearing witness with you, and you say, yes, amen. Glory to God. And over here, this person's trembling. Man, I need to get saved.
Oh, Bridget.
And they're looking around like, why are you amening so much? Because the Holy Spirit ain't bearing witness with them. There's no Holy Spirit there.
That's right.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
That's a blessing, though. Y'all getting worried again. What is wrong with you? That's a blessing. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about whether I'm saved. Once I get saved, the Spirit of God's in there forever, and He bears witness with my spirit, and I know I'm saved.
Yeah.
Now, if you're worried about that, then get saved.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Get saved. Amen. Let's move on quickly. Galatians chapter 5. Let's move over there. I got to finish. Galatians chapter 5. There's a lot of things the Holy Spirit does for the believer. Aren't you glad that you have the Holy Spirit? Amen. Aren't you glad you're under this new covenant? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now see, the Holy Spirit is also given to us to clean up our lives.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the Holy Spirit, verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. See, the Holy Spirit condemns sin and the works of the flesh. So, that's a blessing, folks. The Holy Spirit is never going to let you be comfortable in sin.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's good.
Amen.
That's a good thing.
Amen.
If you're saved, you understand. That's a good thing. If I walk in the Spirit, by the way, if I'm not saved, I can't walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
All I can do is walk in the flesh. But since I'm saved, I can walk in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in me produces the fruit of the Spirit. Look in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is producing in the believer. The Holy Spirit of God is producing in our hearts love, joy, peace, long-suffering. This is making us completely different than we were before.
Yeah, man. That's right, man.
They didn't have all this in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't have all this in the Old Testament. Just a few pages over, maybe one page or so. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. What's that mean? That means that Holy Spirit seals my destiny forever.
Amen. Yeah, buddy. That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That Spirit of God's going to stay with me, sealed. And that when Jesus comes back, what He's going to do is going to have a big seal magnet.
Yeah.
You never heard of a seal magnet? I haven't either, but it just came to me, okay? Y'all bear with me. He's going to have a big seal magnet. He's going to hold it above her, and all of us that have the seal are going to stuck to that magnet.
Amen.
And everybody that doesn't have that seal, bye-bye. I'm sealed.
Amen.
I remember the day.
Well,
I remember the place.
Amen.
I remember the Holy Spirit conviction. I remember the Holy Spirit conversion. I remember now multiple times the Holy Spirit has borne witness with my spirit. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. And listen, and when that big seal magnet comes over the sky, and I'm going. I'm stuck to that magnet, brother. I'm going with that magnet.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not because I'm some kind of superhero. No. No, because I trusted Christ. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved my forever saved my soul. Now I am born again, but I'm sealed with this Holy Spirit of promise. And it's a better covenant. Much better. Think about this. Why is this new covenant so much better? I know, because we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Spirit in us, and yes. If you remember in the Old Testament, when people sinned, it was like, take them out back, stone them. Okay? We're going to make an example out of you. And the law of God fell heavy and hard and fast. Plagues. Remember the plagues? Here's what happens today, though. See, now we're living in 2 Corinthians 6 says, now is the day of salvation. Not judgment.
That's right.
Not law. Grace.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Say, preacher, so what are you getting at? Well, here, well, put this all together and we'll be done. In this day of salvation, this day of grace, the church age, because we are here to do what? Preach the gospel. Through the Holy Spirit power, so people can be saved. But what happens, though, don't forget now, the day of salvation, where God's hand is on hold. God's hand of judgment is removed because of His grace.
Right.
And He's given us this day, this time of history.
Amen.
To where you and me now need to go preach the gospel. Amen. But listen, but he's not forcing people.
Right.
He's not, you know, he's not zapping them when they say no. He's not stoning anybody. He's saying, okay, for now, behold, now is the day of salvation. His hand of wrath is going to come heavy on this earth one day. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
But He's given us this Holy Spirit today, all of these things I just read to you and showed you in the Bible, if you were listening, are so that you will stay faithful.
Yeah, amen.
Because you're not seeing people get what they deserve. You're seeing grace.
Amen.
And that's all we know, folks. That's all we know. Face it, that's all we know. We know grace.
Amen.
And the amazing grace of God's the only reason we're saved.
Amen. That's right.
Think about that, though. People don't get what they deserve yet. And sometimes if you're not careful, you say, well, I just don't know that. I just don't know if I believe all that Bible stuff. Man, come on. Nobody's paying for their sins. God's being mocked every day.
Yeah, come on.
Right? Come on now, just be honest. And you look around and you say, well, good night. Is that Bible really true? I mean, look at the way the people are living today. Look at the way people are acting. Look at the way they're talking. Look how they're taking God's name in vain. That Bible's not true. Hold on a minute.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit's what bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Not what you see in the world.
That's right.
That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God.
Yep. Amen.
Yep.
Through that Spirit. Because we're living in a day where God has extended His grace.
Amen.
So you see, the new covenant's better, but we need it.
Amen.
A lot more.
Yep. That's right.
But listen, isn't it amazing how God knew exactly, exactly what we would need and when we would need it? And He gave it to us.
Yep, that's right.
Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father in heaven, we thank You for the new covenant, the New Testament, the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Father, for all the many things that